As a doctor, I've learned to look for specific signs when someone's in trouble with their physical health. But as a parent, I didn't do so well at seeing the signs that my teenager was in trouble.
Would you be able to see the signs that your teenager is in trouble? If you're the parent of a teen, a youth director, or anyone who works with teens, stay with us here on Hope for the Heart. Our host, conference speaker, and author June Hunt looks at the telltale schemes of teens, and she shares clues to look for which reveal that trouble for your teen may be just around the corner. Joined by her Hope in the Night co-host Jim Kress, this program is from her series, Helping Teens Through Turbulent Times. Now, here's June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
School teachers have learned to be diagnostic. They look for signs of unhealthy withdrawal. And we're not talking just about difficulty in school by virtue of lower grades. Skipping classes, disrupting the class by, for example, challenging authority, lying about homework, avoiding communication where there would be, for example, a parent-teacher meeting, and yet the teenager doesn't want to hear anything about what is important to change. When there is rebellion in these areas, that could be a telltale sign that something really is wrong and there needs to be a course correction.
Well, June, I was thinking of the metaphor of the mechanic at the garage when you take your car in and you're having some kind of problem with it. They will typically hook your car up to a piece of machinery, which is electronic, that's going to go through and call out codes that will say, okay, there's a problem here, a problem there. And it could be anything. And as I hear you, as we begin to go through some of these telltale schemes of troubled teens, maybe parents will think of one or two categories, and there are many little areas or warning lights that could go off saying you have a problem or a potential problem here.
And I would add, there wouldn't just be one problem. Typically, if there is something of an outer sign, there's going to be an inner emotional issue that's going on. There typically is a correlation of several significant negative changes, and that's what we're looking at, is the negative changes. And this can help you know, wait a minute, maybe there needs to be an evaluation of what is my child thinking. Sometimes a kid has believed a lie about himself, that if he can't be a superstar in athletics, then he's nothing. Or a painful time of life for a teenage boy is when that particular boy has not matured as quickly in physical anatomy as his friends. And so the self-worth just plummets. And so then there can be an overcompensation. In fact, there can be a lessening of values, getting into drugs, doing anything to gain acceptance. This is where you look for observable signs, and he needs to know that he is valued by God. God has a plan and a purpose for him. In fact, I would give him Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And he just needs to be told, just wait. Your time will come when you will mature. So don't lose your values. Stay true to God. Stay true to what you know is right.
Well, June, I haven't met a teenager who doesn't like to go to an amusement park, especially ride those big roller coaster. And that's a great metaphor, I think, for the lives of teenagers. Their lives, their emotions, their hormones, everything feels like it's just up a hill, down a hill, up and down.
I love that. That's my most favorite of all, is a roller coaster.
Yes.
It doesn't feel that great when it's your emotions, though.
Right, exactly.
There can be emotional withdrawal, and this is how you would look for it. Is there an avoiding of family activities? Is there a sense of secretiveness or unresponsiveness? Is there withdrawing to the bedroom immediately after coming home? Are there a lot of arguments, even being verbally abusive? Now, this is where you want to realize, where do our emotions come from? They come typically from our thinking. In other words, when you feel happy, you're thinking happy thoughts. If you're feeling sad, you're thinking sad thoughts. And this is, again, where parents need to be so aware that they can tell their teenager, you know, are you feeling fearful that you're not going to be accepted? Or are you living with fear? Are you living with sadness? Evaluate, what are you thinking? And then help them with a course correction in their minds. And sometimes it's literally giving a particular scripture based on the truth and the promise of God's word. I know one real sharp teenage girl who was in the midst of living with fear. And the thing that helped her was to take this particular scripture from Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
And June, it seems with the physical changes going on in the life of a teen, there can be some real physical concerns.
Right. And you want to look for the signals. Now, I'm going to be very practical here. If they're sleeping or eating excessively, that's a possible sign of depression. Mm-hmm. If there is excessive weight loss, that could be a possible sign of anorexia. If there's eating an abnormal amount of food without weight gain, that could be a possible sign of bulimia. Be observant, be aware, so that even if your teenager doesn't ask for help, you will be able to know when you need to extend help.
Well, June, with everything you've been saying, it seems to me to be so important to look at this issue of teenagers who are violating the limits set by parents or crossing those parental boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are many kids who are very dissatisfied with what they consider the amount of freedom they should have. They can become evasive about activities. In fact, very secretive. They can break curfews, you know, just not coming in when they should. Of course, they always have excuses. They can be sneaking out at night. They can resist church attendance, being with the family, things of that nature. I think it's important to realize that teens will test the boundaries. They're going to see, are these limits for real? If they're used to getting away with crossing the boundary, it's going to make it much more difficult for them in adulthood because the workforce won't have such leniency. The military won't have such leniency. You are preparing your child to live successfully as an adult when you have boundaries that are set and there is consistency with repercussions as well as rewards. Rewards for staying within the boundaries, a repercussion if they go across the boundary.
Well, June, what about the teenager who says, may I have your attention, please? I have an announcement to make. I'm turning 18 in a few months, and you see, the government recognizes me as an adult. Mm-hmm. And when I hit 18, I'm going to do anything I want whenever I want to do it. And it doesn't matter whether I'm living here at home or out on my own.
Well, you sound like you have an attitude, son.
You caught me.
Well, the interesting thing is, if you are living as a dependent at home, if the parents are there, it doesn't matter if you're 12 years old or 20 years old or 30 years old. If you are still dependent on your parents, where they provide home, possibly school, clothes, food, or if they're providing for you, then you are a dependent. You're living as a dependent. And a dependent does not have then the right to make totally independent decisions. The scripture says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. And if we do not have healthy boundaries for those sons and daughters who are living as dependents, then we are contributing to them being irresponsible, and we enable them to continue on a lifestyle of irresponsibility. Instead, take the tougher stand, know what is right, set that as a boundary, and then offer them the repercussion or the reward for either going over the boundary or staying within the boundary. That's what God does with us. And as a parent, you are to be a reflection of God Himself.
We'll return with more from June Hunt right after this. Life storms can destroy our lives in a way that makes recovery seem hopeless. June Hunt's book, Hope for Your Heart, provides hope for those trying to rebuild after losing their way in the storms. We would like to send you a copy of Hope for Your Heart as an expression of thanks for your gift of at least $25. And if you make that gift before the end of the month, we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Our order line is 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-HOPE, or you can visit us online at hopefortheheart.org.
Typically, when people hear the word drugs, unless it's a prescription drug, there's a negative connotation, as in illegal drugs. However, it's been said that alcohol is the gateway drug. In other words, the drug that leads to further drugs, because indeed alcohol is a drug. It is mood-altering and mind-altering. And the negative ramifications can be devastating to a family.
We can get real specific, June, with this scenario, and we know only too well that we're not excluding Christian homes, making
right.
them think even the best of kids and the best of youth groups, the surveys will show, are still involved, unfortunately, in alcohol and in drug involvement, if not drug and alcohol abuse.
Yes.
But the scenario is, basically, you've set the boundaries down with your kids, you've tried to do this right, and said in our home, house rules are that teenagers are not to participate in any way, in alcohol, certainly not in any type of drug involvement.
Right.
And in the home, seems to be everything's fine, and maybe it comes through a secondary source, a second-hand source. But you find out what you know to be true, and that is that your teenager has been involved in alcohol outside the home or has sampled some drugs, and you're sitting there thinking, what in the world do I do now?
Well, the emphasis of this program is building bridges with boundaries. Therefore, there have to have been boundaries that have been established. A boundary meaning a line that your teen needs to stay within. If the line is crossed, then there is a penalty or a negative consequence. Now, I think this is going to be very helpful information. If we can understand the importance of the boundary, since your teenager can experience an increase of freedom as long as your teen makes responsible choices, and likewise a decrease in freedom with irresponsible choices, that within itself gives motivation to do what's right. So once you know the situation under which your teen is using alcohol or some other inappropriate drug, you must limit your teenager's freedom in certain areas. For example, if your teenager is drinking only with certain people, then you need to monitor and limit any contact with those people, or you need to stop any contact with those people. If the behavior happens only in certain places, then you stop your teen from being in those places. Or if you can't do that, you literally attend. That means you're monitoring, you're there, and therefore you limit your teen in that environment. Now, that may mean that you'll have to readjust your schedule. But with drugs, it can be a matter of life and death. And we have to take that seriously.
Well, June, what if you don't know the level of involvement to which your teenager is involved in drugs or alcohol? You just heard about it, but you don't know how deeply this goes.
Well, there are a number of things that you will want to find out. You want to understand the extent of the experimentation. In other words, you need to find out what your son or daughter has been using or drinking. You need to find out the motivation. Was it pure curiosity? Was it peer pressure? Was it humiliation? In other words, being made to feel like a dork if he or she didn't use whatever it was. And so the way you talk to your teen is vitally important. Verbally bashing your kid is not going to help your teen open up to really share from the heart. And communication is essential in order for you to assess the situation and determine what course of action to take.
Well, June, with a scenario like this, what are some of the specifics? I mean, to get detailed, what do teenagers need to hear from their parents?
Well, first of all, that the use of alcohol or any other drug by a minor is against the law, and that it's your God-given responsibility to support the law. And if you feel it would be helpful for you to even quote a scripture, that's fine. But don't bash with scripture either. Just explain the biblical principle as found in 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. That's just one example of a scripture that we are to be submissive to the governmental authorities or to the law of the land. I know this may sound controversial. However, I do know parents who have literally called the police when their teenagers would not respond to the clear-cut directive that drugs were not allowed. I'm thinking about one particular situation where the police came. The daughter was taken to jail, and if you don't think that made an impact on her, it did. The parents did not bail her out that night. She had to face the consequences of her illegal action. Does it work in every situation? No, but it will work with many. So, Jim, first the parent communicates that the teen needs to respond to their authority because it's right. But if the child will not respond to parental authority, then they will have to now appeal to an even higher authority, and that's the police. And it shouldn't be done as a power play. It should be done with a heart that is grieving. They should see that you agonize over this, and it's painful to you. But if they have to do that, they are the ones who are choosing this action by virtue of not making the right choices. It's their wrong choices that are forcing your hand. If they choose the action, they are choosing the consequence.
June, as a parent myself, there is this natural, innate drive, it seems, to want to control your children from the earliest age. And although my kids aren't teenagers, I wouldn't think that desire would just go away when they get to be teenagers.
I haven't seen one person that we can control. Adult, child, teen, whatever. We can't control people. You can't make another person change. But you can make it clear that even though you can't control your teen's choices, that you want to be able to trust your teen to make the right choices. And here you can be very encouraging. You can say, I know you can make logical, sensible decisions, decisions that could affect the rest of your life, instead of negative decisions that could damage the future. Now, Jim, there's a scripture that most parents know by heart. Train a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just take that, train up a child. Let's just talk about that. What could you do in regard to your teen? Well, first of all, have you ever sat down with your teen and literally presented all the negatives about all the drugs? Have you done the research to evaluate what could happen? And statistically, what has happened to so many people who have been involved in drugs?
Well, June, having established already that we cannot truly control our teenagers, how would a parent, how should a parent talk to their teenager about this scenario that we've talked about today here in the program?
Well, perhaps a springboard would be something like this. I hope you know how much I love you and really care about your future. And I realize you've been messing around with alcohol or experimenting with drugs. And as much as I disapprove and am scared about it, I know I can't control your choices and actions. But I must ask you to examine all the pros and cons of using them. And I'm not saying this to restrict you. I'm saying it to protect you. I know that peer pressure is great. I know your friends mean so much to you. And I want you to have friends, and I want you to be accepted. I do hope you know that I love you and want what's best for you, both now and in the future. So when you look at the pros and cons, consider the future ramifications as well as the present ones. And because of my concern, I've taken the time to gather this information that I hope will be helpful to you. And then you start in on the list. Go drug by drug with alcohol, illegal drugs, prescription drugs, to specify the very real danger from addiction, permanent impairment, to even death if they choose to use those drugs.
You're listening to Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. Do you know the five areas of transition in which a teen goes through as they move from childhood to adulthood? These five areas of transition, plus more, can be found in June Hunt's book, Bonding with Your Teen Through Boundaries. You can order your personal copy of this book and our audio series on teenagers when you visit hopefortheheart.org or call 1-800-488-HOPE. That's 1-800-488-4673. You may also want to order this book for a group study with other parents of teens. Some of our listeners have done this and have found it to be life-changing. We also have the series Alcohol and Drug Abuse, Breaking Free and Staying Free, as June discussed this issue today and how it relates to teenagers. And remember that this is June in June. If you haven't yet taken the opportunity this month to write in letting us know how God has changed your life through this ministry, won't you do that today? We would like to have the chance to rejoice with you over your changed life. Visit hopefortheheart.org or send your notes to Hope for the Heart, 2001 Plano Parkway, Suite 1000, Plano, Texas, 75075. This month, Hope for the Heart has a special offer to help you and help others. For your gift of $25 to support our ministry, we'll send you a copy of June's book, Hope for Your Heart, as a way of saying thanks. And we will also place a copy of this book into the hands of one of the many women in prison who are trying to rebuild their lives. Call 1-800-488-HOPE or visit us online at hopefortheheart.org. We pray that this broadcast, this series, and June's books are providing biblical hope and practical help to you and your family. We're so grateful to know that thousands are being positively impacted by this ministry. It's a huge undertaking, and no individual, no organization can make it happen without help. That's where you step forward to help sustain Hope for the Heart with your faithful prayers and your regular monthly financial support. It truly is everyday people like you and me who make this two-part commitment to giving and prayer. You can learn more about this ministry and our partnership opportunities when you visit our website at hopefortheheart.org. That's hopefortheheart.org. Or call 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. You can help us make a difference in the lives of men, women, and families as we share God's truth, hope, and encouragement. In fact, listen to this note we received from a listener we'll call Sally.
I wanted to say thank you for the ministry of Hope for the Heart and for continuing to preach and share the truth. It is very important. Your ministry is such an encouragement, and I thank the Lord for working so greatly in your ministry.
Now, here's June once again with a closing word of hope from God's Word.
We've all heard of youthful indiscretions, of wild kids and irresponsible teens. But in writing to his young apprentice Timothy, the Apostle Paul provides reassurance that being young does not necessarily mean being foolish. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.